Our first guest today is Corinne Carey, the campaign director of New York Compassion and Choices. Corinne is here to talk about New York's Medical Aid in Dying Act that is currently pending in the state legislature. Welcome, Corinne.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about the mission of the Organization for Compassion and Choices?
Compassion and Choices is the nation's oldest, largest, and most active nonprofit working to improve care and expand choices at the end of life. We've been around for over 30 years. We support families when they have a loved one who's dying, and we try to improve policies by passing laws.
So the policies must have changed drastically over time, but there's a significant piece of legislation, the Medical Aid in Dying Act. What is that piece of legislation all about?
So the bill that is pending in the New York State Legislature right now is modeled after a 1994 law adopted in Oregon called the Death with Dignity Act. The Medical Aid in Dying Act would allow someone who's terminally ill and determined to be within 6 months of death, able to make their own medical decisions, to ask a doctor for a prescription that they can take at a time of their choosing, should their suffering become unbearable at the end of life. The bill has a number of safeguards that ensure that it's an autonomous decision. So, for example, someone has to be able to administer the medication to themselves.
Other than Oregon, are there other states that have already passed this bill?
There are six. Yeah, six states now authorize the practice of medical aid in dying.
You know offhand what they are?
I do. Oh. Oregon was the first. Montana approved medical aid in dying for its residents through a court decision in 1998. And then Washington State passed it through a ballot referendum. Colorado followed. California passed it in 2015, and Washington, D.C. passed it as well through its city council, and it went into effect last year.
And how is the bill, I mean, since 1994, there must be a lot of data about how that's proceeded since then.
There is a lot of data. It's a law that's been under a microscope from a public policy perspective. And so each year, the Oregon Department of Public Health issues a report. The latest one, year 20, just came out at the beginning of February. And it showed that just under 2,000 people received a prescription in 20 years for the medication. And only about a third of them ever took it. Over a third put the medication in the medicine cabinet, report feeling that there's peace of mind that they feel, knowing that there's a way out should their suffering become too much to bear, and over a third never use it.
And the very fact that they have that ability to choose to end their lives, that reduces their stress and sometimes makes it more easy to
go? It does. It's sort of paradoxical in a way. Some people report being more willing to engage in experimental treatments, more willing to engage in another round of chemotherapy or radiation or immunotherapy, knowing that if those treatments are too harsh and make them diminish their quality of life and their suffering becomes too great, that there's a door, a way out.
So given the number of states that have done this so far and the progress that we're seeing in New York at this point, would you describe this as a movement?
I think it is a movement. Some of your listeners may have heard the name Brittany Menard. She was a 29-year-old woman from California who was diagnosed with a brain tumor at 29 years old, shortly after she was married. And she did what everyone who's diagnosed with cancer does. She asked her doctor, how can we beat this? And when the aggressive treatment that she received resulted in a larger, more aggressive brain tumor, she said, when the time comes, will you help me die? And her doctor said, no, it's illegal here in California. And at the time, it was. Well, she went to People magazine and shared her story with the world. It actually became the most watched video on People magazine's website. She told her story of suffering and her desire to have some control over the end of her life. 29 state legislatures responded with bills the following year, and New York was one of them. So more and more people are looking at Brittany's story and becoming inspired to share their own stories, either of their own terminal illness or of loved ones who've passed after needless suffering.
How did Brittany's story end?
She and her husband had the resources and the wherewithal to move to Oregon. So she upended her life and established a new care team in the state of Oregon, rented an apartment on Craigslist, and she qualified and received the prescription. She put the drugs in her medicine cabinet and went about living the rest of her life. She went to Alaska, she went to the Grand Canyon, and she also advocated for changes to the law. So she spoke with lawmakers in California and with the governor, and I think in her honor, the state legislature passed the bill the year after she died.
How do you see this issue affecting other issues within the healthcare system?
I think it doesn't really affect other issues in the healthcare system. We have a broken healthcare payment system right now, and I think everyone knows that. Medical aid and dying doesn't have any impact on that. It just gives people who are dying one more option. Right now, if you're dying in the state of New York, there are few options available to you. Certainly, hospice and palliative care have improved the lives of the last days of the lives of people who are dying in this state, and provided relief to countless other family members. But when suffering becomes too great, particularly when someone has different forms of cancer, there should be another option. And so this just adds another tool to healthcare providers who are caring for the dying.
Have there been any studies conducted about the about this type of I'm blanking on the
end of life option?
Yeah, pretty much.
There have been many studies studies of the effect that this has on family members. Certainly, as it has allowed people to plan the end of their lives and to say their goodbyes to their family members, to have a celebration of their lives instead of having loved ones sit at the hospital bed and watch someone deteriorate. And so it has improved the grieving process for family members who are able to say those goodbyes to a conscious loved one before they die. There have also been each year, in every state that's authorized medical aid in dying, the health department has to report to the state legislature. And groups are paying attention to those reports and looking out for any cases of abuse or misuse or coercion. And there have been no cases. So I think that's one thing that people look at this law that was revolutionary when it passed in 1994. And it's worked. It's never had to be amended or altered or tinkered with to work better. It's the same law that's existed, and every state that's adopted it since has followed the Oregon model.
What is the stance of the medical profession, doctors, for instance? How do they feel about it?
An increasing number of doctors are supportive of medical aid in dying. There's a Medscape poll that's done of physicians online every year, and the percentages are increasing each year. So right now, 57% of doctors in this poll have indicated that they support giving patients this right. Just in the past 18 months, 10 state medical societies have dropped their opposition to aid in dying, and I think it's because they're looking at the evidence and they're seeing that this works. Very few people use medical aid in dying, but it provides a comfort to countless others.
This may seem like a very personal question, and it is, of course, but how did you become involved with this particular issue?
So I used to work with the New York ACLU for about a decade, and my father was diagnosed with lung cancer, and we were able to access hospice services just in the last 48 hours of his life, which is far too late for an individual or a family member to gain the true benefits that hospice can provide. So I started thinking a lot about death and dying at that point, and it was right around that time that Brittany Menard was on the national stage, and this just seemed to be a worthwhile issue to get involved with.
Yeah, my own dad passed last July. He had ALS, and he was a veteran, had been in the Navy, so he had access to the VA. And without that hospice care, I can't imagine. I mean, it was grueling enough on my mom as it was, but without that, there's just no way.
Yeah, my dad was a vet too. He was a tough guy. He didn't even want pain medication in the end. But hospice provides much more than pain medication. It really helps the family deal with the caregiving that you need to do at the end of life.
That whole unit, the palliative care unit. I mean, there are the people who go there and they pass there, and the relatives that and friends that come to support them. But the staff that's there, and they just see this over and over again. We got to be friends with some of the nurses, and one of them actually transferred out of palliative care after that, partially because she became attached to my dad. Just that was kind of like a straw breaking the camel's back, you know, when it was impersonal enough with the other people passing through. But once you start to become friends with somebody, and it's just boom, boom.
Yeah. So, in other ways, being around people who are dying is almost spiritual, you know, allowing people to have a peaceful and loving send off. So I really admire the work of hospice providers in that way.
Go ahead.
Where can folks go to find out more about the bill?
Sure. We've got a Facebook page. It's Compassion and Choices New York, and we announce activities and public education programs and lobby days. We have a lobby day coming up on April 23rd here in the Capital Region at the Capitol. So we hope that people who agree with this check us out on Facebook and join us in Albany on April 23rd.
Great. And is there anything else that you would like us to know?
Well, I just think, you know, medical aid in dying is not for everyone. And so you may have some listeners that are sitting there saying, well, no, this isn't for me at all. And I think what's important to realize is that the bill wouldn't change anything for people who oppose medical aid in dying, but it would open up this choice to people who may see some benefit to it and may need it at the end.
Great. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.